of Thursday. It's time for the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Before we get started, a quick reminder, Pecan Day is now April 6th in Yuba City. The California Walnut Conference is April 7th and April 8th, also in Yuba City. And the North Valley Nut Conference is June 8th in Orland. We'll start off the show here today with a report from Taylor Chalstrom on a new biocontrol approach for reduction of Pierce's disease in vineyards. Then I'll have a check-in of regional and national agricultural news, and it all gets started right after this.
The Musco Family Olive Company is leading the transformation of the table olive industry. We are committed to the California olive grower and invite you to grow with our family. Modern table olive orchards apply newly perfected, state-of-the-art planting and harvesting to one of the world's oldest tree crops for proven superior results. Musco is proud to be America's favorite olive, offering Pearls and early California brands loved nationwide. There is opportunity in any crop transition, and Musco is proud to offer long-term contracts and free trees to our grower partners. Visit our website at www.olives.com/milliontrees to join the table olive revolution.
Though vineyard managers continually face many challenges to optimal productivity, Pierce's disease represents a particularly formidable threat due to limited options for effective prevention and control. Few methods for controlling and treating Pierce's disease have been made available, with efforts historically focused on controlling the sharpshooter vector, for example insecticides, trapping, monitoring, and inspections, or roguing seriously ill vines, all of which has achieved only limited success. However, a new option that reduces PD in grapevines is now available, called Zilphi PD. Sarah Atwood, a viticulturist with Infotech, gave a brief overview of Pierce's disease and explained how it's caused in vines and why it has become such a formidable threat in California vineyards.
In vines, the infection is caused by a xylem-dwelling bacteria, Xylella fastidiosa, subspecies fastidiosa. So basically, the bacteria causes physical blockages in the xylem, but it also sparks an immune response in the vine to create more irreversible blockages. So this prevents the movement of water and nutrients to various parts of the vine, essentially killing the vine or rendering it unable to produce any viable crop in just 4 to 5 years' time.
In vineyards, Pierce's disease is typically spread by insect vectors, namely the glassy-winged sharpshooter and the blue-green sharpshooter.
So historically, how you would manage this disease is to focus on controlling the vector, and that includes using insecticides, but this works to some extent in areas where you have other host plants nearby or other crops that are protected and you can't spray, that allow the vector to overwinter and reproduce. It becomes very difficult to actually manage the disease by only controlling the vector. So once the vines become infected, there's very little you can do. Best practice is to actually remove that vine from the block. Economically, it doesn't always make sense to keep a vine that's not producing, but also you want to pull that vine out and get rid of some of the inoculum. So there's less of a chance that a vector could move it from that vine to neighboring vines.
Infotech's new product, Xylphi PD, hopefully makes it so that the vines will not have to be removed from the block. Atwood explained why this product is being considered a breakthrough for the viticulture industry.
Xylphi PD, the active ingredient, is bacteriophage, or we'll commonly call it just phage. So phage is a type of virus that will specifically target a very narrow host range, so of bacteria. So in our case, our phage will only hit Xylella fastidiosa in the vine. The way the phage works is very similar to how a virus would work. So it will find the bacteria cell and insert its DNA into the cell and use the cell's machinery to make more phage. And then it will lyse the cell and send more phage out to find other bacteria to kill them as well. So we actually need the phage to come in contact with the bacteria. So we are injecting Xylphi PD into the vine to make sure that they are coming in contact with each other but it's a very different mechanism of control. We're actually targeting the bacteria. So we're the first product on the market to be able to actually allow for microbial control of the disease.
Atwood also went into depth on research trials that Xilphi PD has been involved in to prove its efficacy as a front runner for management of Pierce's disease.
Our most recent efficacy trial was a 3-year trial in collaboration with Wilburellis. And this was a field trial at 4 different vineyard sites in Sonoma County. All of these sites were commercially run vineyards, and they were all near riparian areas, which is a habitat for the blue-green sharpshooter. So all of these sites also had a history of the vector and a history of Pierce's disease. So we had 3 different groups in the study. We had our control group that never received any treatment. We had a group that had been treated since 2019, so 3 years of treatment, and a group that started treatment in 2020, so only 2 years of treatment. And then our largest break in efficacy was between the control group and the 3-year treated group. So the 3-year treated group had a 54% reduction in PD symptoms. So this was by visual assessment. And we also saw similar results when we were specifically measuring the bacteria in the vines. So we saw a 45% reduction in the number of vines that tested positive for Xylella fastidiosa by qPCR analysis. And it's also good to note that we also saw great preventative effects. So we had no new cases of Pierce's disease appear in our 3-year treated group. And then at one of our sites, we also measured fruit yield in 2021. And we saw between the control group and the 3-year treated group a 17% increase in fruit yield. So that was really exciting because we were able to see our disease evaluations translated into numbers that are a bit more tangible for growers. So it was really great to see that result.
Atwood said that Invitech and Wilburellis had high hopes going into the efficacy trials, and that it was especially rewarding to see the results considering that many of the grapevines within the trial started at different disease incidences.
So to see our efficacy results around 50% is pretty good. As we would expect, our prevention numbers are much, much higher because we do a great job at preventing disease and then knocking out early infections as well. So it's those really severe cases that are more difficult to treat, and why when you have a mixed bag of levels of disease, you would expect to see some of the efficacy back off a bit.
Being that Xilphi PD is a new product on the market, there of course are going to be certain usage recommendations, maybe some different than existing products, Atwood said. Since the product is being injected into the vine, there are going to be different recommendations.
We have the option to be very precise with applying this product. So we can really follow the disease distribution or the disease incidence in the field to determine how we want to apply this product. So in the North Coast, where you predominantly have the blue-green sharpshooter, it's often recommended to do a buffer zone treatment. So those vectors are coming in from one side of the vineyard. So we can either treat 10 vines in or 10 rows in and create this buffer zone that those are the most likely vines to be fed on by the sharpshooters first. So we'll have protection in that area of the vineyard before the sharpshooters can move further in. We'll knock out that bacteria load. And then we also have the option of doing a more of a targeted treatment around hotspots. So if you have kind of more of an even distribution in the field, but a lower amount of disease, you might be able to just hit around those hotspot areas with the injector. And then in some cases, you have 50% of the block is infected. And at that case, it's instead of flagging and finding the vines to treat, it's almost easier to go and just treat the entire block. But you have a lot of flexibility with how you treat. And you also have flexibility with the number of times of applications and the amount that you treat. So there is some wiggle room on the label. So with newly planted vines, it's only 2 applications at 40 microliters per injection, where with mature vines, we recommend 3 applications and 80 microliters per injection to make sure that we have enough product moving throughout the vine.
Atwood also said that specific recommendations for Zilphi PD will depend on the specific insect vector that is being countered.
The blue-green sharpshooter travels short distances, only 200 to 300 feet in its lifespan. It's a very different treatment approach than the glossy-winged sharpshooter that can travel up to a mile and distribute the disease much more evenly within the block. The glossy-winged sharpshooter can also feed at different times of the year. It can feed on woody tissue, while the blue-green can only feed on green tissue. So the disease distribution is likely to be very different in different areas because of the vector.
The grape varietal also mattered in the trials. Atwood said that in these trials, they tried to focus their efforts on the more susceptible varieties to Pierce's disease.
Most Vitis vinifera is susceptible at some extent, but we tend to find that Chardonnay, Pinot Noir are highly susceptible. We also have done studies on Cabernet Sauvignon, which is still fairly susceptible. So the other reason for choosing these varieties is that they're widely planted in wine regions. So we've seen similar efficacy across the different varieties, especially when you're staying within Vitis vinifera. As you move to other grape species, you will have different levels of susceptibility. You'll have different levels of resistance. So we have primarily focused on grape varieties that are heavily impacted by Pierce's disease.
As for other management recommendations to go along with the product, Atwood recommends scouting in the fall.
You're looking for wavy or irregular necrosis or leaf scorching on the margins of the leaves. You will have irregular lignification on the shoots. You'll have cluster shriveling. You'll sometimes see stunting, missing positions on the vine. So these are all signs to look at for in the fall time. In the springtime, you often don't see these symptoms, or if you're looking just at stunting or missing positions, it can be mistaken for something else. So the fall time, I can't stress enough, is the time to go out. It is a busy time of year, but take the time if you are worried about Pierce's disease to scout your vineyards. It's also the best time to do tissue sampling and to send those samples into the lab to confirm by qPCR as well. It's also important to monitor vectors with yellow sticky traps or sweep netting in some areas. Typically, once the vine is infected by a vector, you won't see symptoms for another year or two. So there's strong correlation between spikes in vector numbers and predicting when that next spike in disease will happen.
This is the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer with you once again, and regional agricultural news coming your way right after this.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
In regional agricultural news, California almond industry shipments were in line with market expectations, shipping 177 million pounds for the month of January, a 9% decline compared to last year's 194 million pounds. Export shipments bared the full brunt of the shortfall as vessel and container logistics continued to complicate the industry's ability to execute. Exports for the month were down 24.9 million pounds, 18% lower than last year. Domestic demand remained consistent at 66.5 million pounds, up just over 4% to last month and exceeding last January by 13%. Shipments through the first 6 months are now at 1.24 billion pounds. That is 16% behind last year. Several companies in the fresh produce industry recently had sanctions imposed on them by the United States Department of Agriculture under the Perishable Agricultural Commodities Act. The five companies were sanctioned for allegedly failing to meet contractual obligations to the sellers of produce they purchased and failing to pay reparation awards totaling $504,493. These sanctions include suspending the business's PACA license and barring the principal operators of the businesses from engaging in PACA licensed business or other activities without approval from USDA. Of the five businesses that are restricted from operating in the produce industry from California is Monarca Family Farms, LLC. They operate out of Los Angeles, California. They failed to pay a $253,710 award in favor of a California seller. As of the issuance date of the reparation order, Kimberly Espinoza was listed as the member and manager of the business. Concord Farms of Vernon, California is recalling its 5.25-ounce enoki mushrooms grown in Korea because it has the potential to be contaminated with listeria, which can cause life-threatening illness. Symptoms of listeria may include fever, muscle aches, severe headache, nausea, vomiting, stiff neck, confusion, loss of balance, and convulsions. The risk of infection can be eliminated by thoroughly cooking foods at temperatures of 165 degrees Fahrenheit. This lot of mushrooms was distributed from California to retail stores through produce distributors, while traces of the bacteria was discovered by the California Department of Public Health sampling. Product is packaged in bright blue and transparent plastic packaging and labeled as fresh enoki mushrooms. Enoki mushrooms are white, stringy, with small caps. The weight of the product is 5.25 ounces. The distribution of the product has been suspended. No infections or illnesses have been reported or confirmed. Consumers who have purchased the enoki mushrooms are urged to return it to the place of purchase for a full refund. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced the allocation of $48.1 million provided by the 2014 Farm Bill to projects across the country that will help to prevent the introduction or spread of plant pests and diseases that threaten America's agriculture economy and the environment. The economic stakes for stopping invasive species are high, with scientists estimating a total economic cost of all invasive species to be approximately $120 billion annually. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service sought project suggestions from states and U.S. territories, universities, federal agencies, non-governmental organizations, private companies, and tribal organizations that would provide a direct impact in managing pests and diseases, as well as disaster prevention. APHIS is funding 383 projects in 49 states, as well as Guam and Puerto Rico. The projects approved for allocation will help states and other partners continue providing and strengthening protections against agricultural threats and could also allow the reallocation of resources to other critical programs. Of those projects in California, $2 million will be provided for protection against exotic fruit flies. Projects were evaluated by teams comprised of USDA experts and industry representatives and were selected based on criteria that supported six goals, which include enhancing plant pest disease analysis and survey, targeting domestic inspection activities at vulnerable points in the safeguarding continuum, enhancing and strengthening pest identification and technology, safeguarding nursery production, and enhancing mitigation capabilities, as well as conducting outreach and education about these issues.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
In national agricultural news, Foreign Agricultural Service Administrator Daniel Whitley arrived in Dubai on Tuesday to launch the Department of Agriculture's first trade mission since November of 2019. Whitley is kicking off the trade mission for Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, who arrives in Dubai tomorrow with a delegation of representatives from U.S. agribusinesses, farm organizations, and state agriculture departments interested in exploring export opportunities across the Middle East. Whitley says he is thrilled that USDA trade missions are back, and he is honored to lead a dynamic group of U.S. agribusinesses and representatives to the UAE. With annual agricultural exports averaging more than $1.2 billion in the last 5 years, the United States is the UAE's fourth largest supplier of food and farm products and is poised for further export growth. Trade mission participants will engage directly with potential customers, receive in-depth market briefings, and participate in site visits, including Expo Dubai 2022. USA's National Agricultural Statistics Service wants recipients of the National Agricultural Classification Survey to know that there is still time to respond. Mailed last December to more than a million potential U.S. agricultural producers, the survey collects data on agricultural activity and basic farm information. The data will be used to build a survey recipient list for the 2022 Census of Agriculture. Response to the survey is required by federal law for all who receive the questionnaire, even if the recipient is not an active farmer or rancher. Questionnaires can be completed securely online at agcounts.usda.gov, by mail, or by phone. This week, USDA NAS extended the response deadline to March 7th. Filling out the NACS is one of the most important steps to determining who should receive the Census of Agriculture questionnaire this fall, according to USDA. All information reported to USDA NAS is kept confidential, protected by federal law. Deer will have more than 10, but less than 50 of its newly launched autonomous 8R tractors out working in a 2022 crop year. Announced at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas early last month, late model 8R410 tractors with the autonomous retrofit are paired in Deer's initial offering with a TrueSet-enabled chisel plow, GPS guidance system, and other new advanced technologies. The autonomous 8R tractor relies on six pairs of stereo cameras that continuously check its position relative to a geofence, ensuring it's operating where it's supposed to within an accuracy of less than an inch. To operate the autonomous tractor, farmers transport the machine to a field and configure it for autonomous operation. Using a John Deere Operations Center mobile app, they swipe from left to right to start the machine. The system does not move among rural road systems autonomously. The Biden administration's Indo-Pacific strategy may benefit U.S. agriculture, but more can be done in the region. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more information from the American Farm Bureau Federation.
The American Farm Bureau Federation calls the Biden administration's Indo-Pacific strategy a good first step, with more action needed. Dave Salmonson, AFBF Senior Director of Congressional Relations, says the strategy outlines a solid foundation for building relationships with the countries in the Indo-Pacific.
Well, the Indo-Pacific strategy is a new approach from the Biden administration, primarily meant to try and counter and compete with China. So it's trying to work closer with allies, other partner countries in the region to boost the security status, to enhance economic engagement, and put the U.S. on a better footing throughout the Indo-Pacific region.
Salmonson says the strategy seeks to form closer partnerships,
whether it's security-oriented, economic-oriented, and it's supposed to deal with things like making sure that supply chains continue uninterrupted, deal with labor, environmental issues, digital commerce, and trade issues. So it's a way of approaching the U.S. economy and the economy of the region as they go forward, always keeping an eye on the actions of China in the region.
While the strategy has some potential benefits for agriculture, Salmonson says the U.S. is long overdue for a binding multilateral trade agreement with the Indo-Pacific.
What it doesn't include is a notion of having negotiations towards binding trade agreements. The administration has decided, at least so far, not to rejoin the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and that's something that Farm Bureau is strongly in favor of. And we want to see this develop so that we have binding commitment among nations and expand opportunities for U.S. agricultural exports.
Michael Clements, Washington.
And February is always an exciting month for FFA members across the country. Each year, FFA chapters around the country celebrate National FFA Week. It's a time to share what FFA is and the impact it has on members every day. This year's National FFA Week will run February 19th through the 26th. And speaking of FFA, in a step to reflect the diversity in their organization, the National FFA Organization is partnering with Syngenta to lay the foundation for a national equity, diversity, and inclusion strategy. This strategy will impact members, staff, leadership, and directly influence the organization's programs, services, and events. Recognizing the importance of an equity, diversity, and inclusion strategy, National FFA has partnered with Syngenta, a company with an over 40-year relationship with FFA, to develop the inaugural Executive in Residence Program. Syngenta's North America Diversity and Inclusion Lead, Brandon Bell, will serve as the Executive in Residence for Organizational Development and Culture as part of this partnership. In his position, Bell will help FFA create a framework to implement and measure the organization's ED&I goals. In this role, he will serve as an internal consultant to assess, design, develop, and execute an ED&I strategy for the National FFA Organization in collaboration with the Board of Directors, Chief Executive Officer, Integrated Management Team, senior leaders, and stakeholders. He will create a framework for implementing and measuring EDI goals and value statements, including diverse membership, inclusive experiences, equitable access, success, organizational accountability, and delivery system impact that interfaces with broader organizational processes. He will interface and build relationships and facilitate focus groups with other National FFA Organization partners, stakeholders, and/or the Board of Directors to support the development of this strategy. He will assess, create, and deliver EDI training, tools, and resources to FFA stakeholder groups and assist with enhancing communication strategies across the organization related to ED&I activities on the company's intranet, website, and other publications.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.